Brian Keel, former BYU linebacker, former fourth round pick in the 2008 NFL draft. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
Excellent. So, you get the flashbacks now. It's the draft. You remember the sweaty palms, stressed out, family asking you how it's going, wishing you'd just leave me alone. I'm stressed out.
They were good times. You know what's funny? You say that. Actually brings back a memory. I was so anxious for it to be over with because I got so sick of everybody asking me, where are you going to go? Who are you going to go to? And I remember being like, I have no idea. I'll find out when you find out. I have no idea. Good times, though. Good times.
So we talked to Trevor Riley. He went in the seventh round, and so he knew that he wasn't going to go early, so he didn't have anxiety in the beginning. But then when it got down to that last portion, he said he had to go golf, and he just couldn't sit around the house. He said so he went out and played some golf. What did you do at that time?
Yeah, so we, it's funny, a little while ago I was talking to some guys, and I said basically every year, every single person that gets drafted lower than they expect to go, except for one guy. There's one guy every year that goes right where he expects to go, and then everybody after that is disappointed because they should have gone higher, right? And so, for me, I thought I was going to go higher than I did. We all do. And so you're a little disappointed. And so with me and my family, we were just at home, and it was funny because when I did go, we were kind of checked out of it a little bit because you get with every pick, you're so anxious. Maybe this is the one. Maybe this is the one. And you can only do that for so long. And so for me, when I did get picked by the Giants fourth round, we had actually kind of stopped paying close attention. We were just, the draft was still on the TV and everything, but we were kind of just chit-chatting, and I almost missed the phone call because I just wasn't paying attention, and I rang all the way through, and then but on the last ring, basically, I heard it, and in my phone in my pocket, and got it, and sure enough, it was the Giants, and the rest is history. But it was a fun day. It was absolutely a dream come true.
So I don't know how well you know Trevor, but he told the story, and if you know him, this is classic. He said that the Jets called him when he was golfing, and they were saying, hey, we got a couple picks here in the seventh round, but if we don't get you, we definitely want to sign you as a free agent. And he was in that irritable phase that you know so well, and he told them, hey, if you don't use one of these two picks, I don't know who I'm signing with, but it's not you. And then
I like it.
His agent called him and told him, he said, hey, what did you tell the Jets? And so he repeated to him and goes, you probably ought to be running that kind of stuff by me before you just blurted it out to an NFL team. And he said, but I think it kind of worked. I think they liked the answer. And sure enough, the Jets drafted him. Classic.
They probably like a little piss in the fire there. That's pretty good. That's a good story. It is. It's one of those days and one of those situations. It's unlike anything else. You don't really know what to expect or how to react, and there is a flood of emotions, and I can totally understand that and that mentality. In the NFL, I mean, the guys, it's funny all the little games they play, and a lot of guys that go in, ended up going as a free agent, they get those calls at the end. And it's kind of a jerk move, if you ask me. The teams will call those guys and string them along, like, hey, we're going to take you here. And a lot of times the teams aren't even planning on taking them in that sixth or seventh round. They just want to kind of string them along and get them liking them, which is funny because it's almost like the opposite. Because if they tell a guy they're going to take them and they don't, then you should react like Trevor, kind of be pissed off. But it's the NFL. They're going to do what they're going to do.
So, Brian, you get drafted by the Giants, as you say. And then what happens next as far as when you go back to the New York area? What for these kids who get drafted here in the next coming days, what should they expect to happen immediately after the draft?
Yeah, so if you go, the first round picks, they'll go out there that day or the next day for the press conference and all that jazz. Basically, from the second round on, you don't go out there until they have their first rookie mini camp. And for the Giants, if I remember, it was I think it was about a week later that they had their first rookie minicamp. And so in that next week, the linebacker coach was calling me, and he kind of going over the playbook and going over some stuff, and he just kind of wanted to get a jump start on it. And it was important because the Giants, their defense was really complicated with Steve Spagnuolo. And so that head start was critical for trying to understand it. I was actually with Dave Nixon yesterday, and we were talking about how complicated that defense is. But yeah, so you go out there for that first rookie minicamp, and it's just all rookies, and it's just, you know, it's baptism by fire. They just are feeding you with a water hose, a fire hose, trying to get you up to speed and get everything inside your brain as fast as they can. And it's just a whirlwind. And it's just, like I said, it's a fun time. It's a special time in your life, but it's also really stressful and nerve wracking and just absolutely just a whirlwind.
So it's interesting because I don't think that they're going to fly anyone out for a press conference this year, because honestly, the last press conference I was at would have been post game the day Rudy touched the microphones. That was in the shoot around at 10 a.m. So it wasn't that. But after the game that night, and then that was it. And everything's been remote since then. They might have to do something remote. If you're a rookie and you don't get a rookie mini camp and everything's delayed and the schedule is compressed, then, and you can probably answer this better, you know, there must be in the locker room, there must be guys who are mentally or really dialed into things. And it would seem like those guys would have an advantage, because if all you're meeting is, whatever your position group is meets with that position coach and he tells you a bunch of stuff, and then you got to watch film cut-ups and think about it because there is no practice, it would seem like that would play to some guy's strength and could play against other guys.
Yeah, so it's funny. I was thinking about that dynamic the other day of how, you know, this thing that's going on, you know, it's going to eliminate probably all of spring stuff that the NFL does, all of the OTAs, all of that stuff. And then hopefully, you know, heaven forbid it's still going on in the fall, but hopefully it's gone by then and the season's able to, not just for football, obviously for every other reason. But anyway, hopefully it's gone in the fall and the season is able to go on. But I was thinking about that dynamic and how big of a disadvantage that is for the rookies, because the rookies, you know, getting thrown out there, they need that spring to get up to speed, to understand the new offense and defense and the nuances of the game. And it is so much more complex than college football. You can't even explain it to someone who hasn't experienced it. It is just, it's not like going from high school to college. It is, you know, it's like skipping college and going to a PhD. It's the jump is just so much bigger, and especially mentally. And you need all of that time in the film room with the coach and in the playbook and learning all that stuff. So it is a big disadvantage. And I actually was thinking back several years ago when they had that lockout. It was my fourth year in the league. They had that lockout, and so we missed the whole spring. It was the same type of thing. The rookies that year were at a disadvantage, and they didn't show up till right when training camp started in the fall. And then it's just double speed for those guys, and for other guys that you talked about with that mental edge. And that's how I looked at it, was the lockout. I know this situation is different, but some similar dynamics there. The way I looked at it in the lockout was, I thought, you know, there's going to be other guys that aren't going to take this time on their own and put the work in, and I'm going to use that to my advantage. I'm going to put the work in so that when we do show up, I'm ahead of them. And that actually did kind of work out to my favor. And if I was still playing right now in college or the NFL, that's how I would look at it. I'd be looking at it like, man, there's going to be a lot of guys out there who are just on the couch right now, and I am going to use this time to lap them. And that's kind of just the mindset that I would have taken, or that I would take it right now.
Did you have a chance to see Francis Bernard play at all? And if so, could you evaluate his chances as a linebacker in the NFL?
Yeah, so I watched a bunch of Utah games last year, and I watched Francis a ton, and obviously watched him when he played at BYU. And I played a bunch of basketball with him at Lifetime pickup games as well. So I know Francis really well. He's a good dude. And super athletic for a linebacker. Obviously, you know, he was a running back and moved over to linebacker. And he's because he's more athletic than the typical linebacker. And I actually expected him to test better than he did. I was kind of surprised at some of his times because he's more athletic than his numbers showed. And but he's very fluid and smooth in his movements. And you know, he's just an athlete, just able to control, have really good body control, and in terms of playing linebacker, he has a really high motor, which is huge, and he brings a good pop when he hits, and he's got great instincts, and he's a good football player. He's got a chance. From everything I've seen, he's you know a late round prospect. And so, you know, if he doesn't get drafted, he'll be a free agent for sure. And he'll have a great chance to make a team because his skill set will translate well to special teams, which in that situation, which is what making a team is all about. So he should do well for himself.
That athleticism is critical now. What percentage of the time would he be in pass coverage? Because I would think for a linebacker, there's a lot more of that than there is the run stuffing.
Yeah, you know, these days it's a different game. It's kind of interesting. The NFL goes through these cycles and phases, and for me, like me personally, my skill set, I would have been better off if I was coming into the NFL right now, and I would have had a better career, would have been on the field more and been way more impactful if I came into the league right now. Then when I did come into the league, and it is what it is, that's how life goes, but timing is everything. And when I came into the league, it was still a run-first league. Most of the teams, my first couple years in the league, there was only like one or two teams, like the Saints, and I can't remember who the other team was, but there's only like one or two teams that threw the ball more than they ran the ball. Every team in the league still ran the ball, 55, 60% of their snaps. And now that, I mean, there's only a couple of teams that run the ball more, like Tennessee last year. You know, most teams throw the rock, they air it out. And so these linebackers, they have to be fast, they have to be athletic, they have to be able to cover, they have to do well in space. And those are all the skill sets that I had. And so, these kids that are coming in, like Francis, he's great in coverage, he's a good athlete. So that'll translate well. And those are the skill sets for linebackers that they are looking for right now.
Brian Keel, former BYU linebacker and a former fourth-round pick in the 2008 NFL Draft.